Hello and welcome back to another episode of Offtopia. This episode marks the first of our, in quotes, second season, where we will be talking about a funny little show called Ice Fantasy. Today with us and our future host for the Ice Fantasy episodes is Asiya.
Who's that? Okay, well, my name is Asiya, and I am going to be hosting this Ice Fantasy podcast because I'm actually one of the producers for the show. So, I just want to share my show with you guys.
Yeah, she was in charge of all of the special effects.
Yeah.
She was like the art director. She was a script writer. A cameraman. Doing it all. Okay. Why don't we give a little rundown about what Ice Fantasy is about? Let me find the official synopsis of Ice Fantasy. Ice Fantasy is a Chinese epic fantasy television drama based on epic, very epic. Yeah. I have no idea how to pronounce this. I'm gonna guess it's Guo Jinming, best-selling novel, City of Fantasy. Stars Feng Xiaofeng, Victoria Song, one of the members of the former K-pop band FX, who has some banger songs, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ma Tianyu, Zhang Meng, and Medina Mehmet, who plays the infamous Lan Shang.
Our favorite character.
Rewatching it, I'm like, okay, she's annoying, but she's not that bad of a character.
Yeah, she's not that bad, but like...
Yeah, and she also got done dirty the whole series.
Yeah, the whole entire series, she's just like... there is something with her, like, every single episode, I swear.
Everything always goes wrong. The first two episodes, she can barely even walk because she's never been on land. Then she's, like, chasing Ka Soa, who's played... by Feng Xiaofeng, and he's like, no, I want Li Luo, who's played by Victoria Song, and it's chaotic. So in this episode of the podcast, we're going to be talking about the first two episodes of Ice Fantasy, which is mostly just exposition. It's a lot of setup, and yeah, but it really does just like jump right into the drama.
Yeah, there's, like, no, like, there's, like, barely even any build-up. It's just, like, immediately.
Yeah, immediately. Like, and that the whole show is just going at 100 the entire time. Like, there's almost never any lull in the entire show. Someone's
really
always crying. Someone's always getting betrayed. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Like, if in one storyline it's calm, the other one, there's, like, all this crazy stuff is happening to them.
Honestly. The first episode starts off strong, with immediately a bunch of birds committing suicide.
Yeah. Like, when the bird, like, flew into, like, this rock.
Yeah, they were flying into the rock, and then there's just, like, rivers of blood, and Castle is just staring at...
And then he, like, cries, and then, like, his tear creates, like, a whole bunch of bloody crystals all over the island.
Exactly! Like, what is the symbolism?
And then, like, he goes into, like, this weird monologue. I don't even remember what he's talking about.
Yeah, but he's then... like, okay, so in the monologue, because I remember to take note of this, because I took notes. The monologue that he's going into is basically explaining how, I guess, he came to be king, because apparently that intro that you see happens, like, years after the whole storyline of the show is already finished. Or, well, not the whole storyline, but when the first episode starts and he starts monologuing, it's him telling the story of everything that we've seen. Because, to be fair, we haven't actually finished it yet, because there's, like, 100 episodes or something, and they're all like an hour long, so
Too much.
It's a lot. It's a lot. So, it's not a bad show, but the first thing that always sticks out to me as soon as I start watching it is the hairlines and the wigs and the makeup.
It's so bad. Like, what really gets me is, like, how, like, under the wigs you can, like, see, like, their dark hair.
Yes, like, especially, like, from the back. They didn't even bother covering. So, the basic premise of the first two episodes is it's the crown prince's birthday, Kasuo. He's a crown prince. It's his birthday, 130th birthday. So, all the great and powerful leaders have gathered around to celebrate his birthday. And among them, guess who comes? Because he's prince of the Ice Kingdom, right? He's prince of the Ice Kingdom. So, guess who shows up, if not the Fire Prince? Whoa!
It's getting crazy.
Totally unexpected. Okay, so Fire Prince shows up, right? And everyone's like, what's he doing here? Everyone knows that the Ice and Fire Kingdoms hate each other. What? And he's like, I have a gift for you. But you can't have the gift. No. You have to fight me for it. Can we please have a moment to talk about how this man is constantly smirking? I know his face was hurting.
Literally. No, because before he shows up to his coming of age ceremony, there's this scene of people riding on horses and cloaks, and it's really serious, and it's oh my gosh, what's happening? And then it zooms in on his smirk, on the Fire Prince's smirk. And I was
his smirk, and it's just, oh my goodness. There's two storylines happening though at the same time. There's one about the mortal kingdom, and then there's also the one about the Fire Prince showing up. So the one about the Fire Prince showing up is he challenges Kasuo to a duel because he's like, I want to see if ice powers are really as great as everyone says they are. And Kasuo's like, it's okay, guys. It's okay. I'll accept. Of course, he's in a dilemma because, he can't win or else the Fire Kingdom will try to start a war. But he also can't lose or else they'll say the Ice Kingdom is weak. So it's oh no.
Uh-oh.
And then, on top of that, his little brother, Ying Kong Shi, he's, the only one at his age in the entire Ice Kingdom that doesn't have any ice powers. He's lacking.
Yeah, he's a loser.
He's a loser. And they're trying to, I don't understand what they were trying to do with that bird. Were they trying to kill the bird? Because they were beating the bird up.
Yeah, they stole it, but, I don't know what their purpose was.
Exactly.
The backstory is, these kids in, the forest, Ying Kong Shi was, arguing with them because they took the bird, they took this bird, and were, trying to kill it, I guess. And then, Ying Kong Shi got mad at them, but he doesn't have any powers, and they all started bullying him. And we were like,
dude, they were straight... They were, trying to kill him. They were getting very vicious with those snowballs.
Oh, yeah.
The scene where it was, eight of them lined up, gunners, holding the snowballs in the air with their magic powers, and they're,
Yeah. He was about to die. He was to kill Ying Kong Shi.
He did not care that he was the prince. They really didn't. But then... The issue with him being the prince is that his mom was a concubine.
Yeah.
So they were like, you suck. And then, And then Kasuo shows up and saves him. And then gives him this whole speech about how you don't need powers to, be better or something.
But you do.
You do, because, you live in a kingdom full of magical people, and you're as bad as a mortal.
And you're a prince, that's...
On top of that, And then, at the same time, the other storyline that was happening was the Earth Kingdom one, where they were, trying to recruit new guardians. And so there's like, you just see them riding on horseback and they're like crossing rivers and jumping over cliffs and climbing up like the side of mountains and then start fighting over a sheep.
It was so much.
Dude, the scene was so funny because, okay, so they were climbing up the side of like the mountain or cliff or whatever, and then he starts like other people down, and then he gets to the top and he grabs the sheep, and Lila, who's the one of the current guardians of the mortal realm, Lila shows up and she's like, shoots an arrow at him and is like, no, you don't have what it takes to be a guardian because you didn't help your fellow guardian in training get the sheep. You're selfish.
And yeah, then, like, and she, like...
Wait, what?
I was gonna say, like, it's so funny, because, like, how she, like, literally just, like, shot him, and she was like, nah, like...
Literally shoots him. And then a bird, one of those crazy-looking birds, just shows up and grabs him, and he just refuses to let go of the sheep.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, dude.
Literally let go. Like, it's not that deep.
And then she has to, like, try and jump on the bird to try and save his life. It was a mess. It really was. And then, like, her other guardians are just sitting on the side, and they're like, she scared him off again, didn't she? I'm like, yeah. Like, dude, okay. I don't know if you noticed this, but you remember what young she looks like.
Yeah.
Did you realize that they painted his face whiter?
Wait, really?
Yeah, if you look at his face makeup, there's like a clear difference between his face and his neck.
I feel like they probably did that with a lot of them because like they look so pale.
Yeah, like I get that they're from the Ice Kingdom, and so you're trying to say they're all like frosty and cool toned, but like at least blend it down to the neck.
Yeah. And, like, they try to, like, have that look, but then it's, like, they all have brown eyebrows besides
exactly.
Ice King. And it's, like, what?
White wigs and then brown eyebrows, and then, like, some of them have contacts and some of them don't. Like, what's going on here?
What are you guys supposed to look like?
Oh, and the Ice King's mouth makeup. His lip makeup. And
it's
I'm
like
frosty. I'm pretty sure they bedazzled his facial hair too.
It's so funny because like I saw like how the Ice King was like the only one with white eyebrows and like he had that special makeup, and so I was thinking like, does the Ice Queen have that too? But she doesn't. Like her makeup is completely normal. So it's like, why is he the only person?
Exactly. Like a lot of characters do get introduced. In like these first episodes, like a lot of the main characters, like so far we have Kasuo, Lilo, Ying Kangxi, and Ice King, and the Fire Prince. Don't remember the Fire Prince's name though, because you'll find out why. Because this happens in the first, like what first episode?
I think it's
Is this the second episode?
It might be the second.
It might be the second, and then, like, it happens at, like, the beginning of the second episode. But anyway.
Yeah.
Of the people that have come to visit the king, the prince for his birthday, come to visit Kasuo for his birthday, is the mermaids. Ha!
Mm-hmm.
And among the mermaids is a mermaid named Lan Shang. It's her first time on land, guys. She can barely walk, and they decided to put her in heels, apparently.
Of course.
She's just girl bossing. And apparently, you know, when the show first starts out, I'm like, does Lan Shang even actually have a crush on Kasuo? Because I don't think she even does. Like, I think she just expects that she's supposed to marry him because that's just a tradition in the Mermaid Kingdom.
Yeah, like, I feel like in the beginning, like, it's mainly, like, I think her mom trying to push it, and she's like, oh, are you interested in him? Do you like him? And she's like, I don't know.
Because she has no clue. She's never seen the man before. And, like, what? And then, like, she just starts, like, randomly asking for him. She's like, Ying Kong Shi, tell me where your brother is right now. Like, girl, what? What?
Yeah, and then she, like, tells him to, like, tell him to meet me in the forest.
Yes! Which leads us to the next point in this episode that makes no sense. Okay, she's walking through the forest, right? And while she's walking through the forest, turns out Fire Prince was planting a little weapon inside the ice curtain that protects the Ice Kingdom from attack. And he sees her when he's walking back out. And he's like, ooh, and and then just tries to assault her?
He doesn't even, like, try. Like, he literally does, like, just, like, assault her.
Yeah, and then, and it's just, it's so out of left field. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it was, like, I get, like, he's a bad guy. He's not supposed to be a good guy, but, like, you really had to make him just go, like, out of his way to assault her for no reason. Like,
literally, he could have kept walking. He could have killed her, even, to, like, because he killed the other two guards on his way into the forest. So it's like...
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Castle shows up last minute and, like, saves her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's where they were trying to explain, like, oh, she's falling for him because he saved her.
Yeah, okay. I guess so, but, like...
It still doesn't really make sense, but... And then they go on to their duel, right? And they're going head-to-head, but Kaso, he knows he can't win, and he also can't lose. So... Mm-hmm. This man, he uses his massive brain, that big ol' noggin of his.
The beautiful, says, beautiful brain that he has.
Exactly. And he gets the Fire Prince to end up melting a hole in the frozen lake. And then he also orchestrates it so that Ying Kong Shi, his little brother, brings like a group of like Ice Kingdom children to... Right across, and he's like, I guess we gotta postpone our fight. Why don't we let the kids play in the lake? And then he just, like, walks away. And everyone's like, wow, that was so amazing.
That was amazing. So dramatic.
How did he know to do that? Whoa! I'm trying to... Okay. And then, like, that's basically the gist of, like, what happens in, like, the first episode. But, unless... Do you have anything to add? Because head empty.
I think the only thing that I did actually was kind of interesting, and I wrote it down as a note, was like when... So there's this point where like they send like messenger birds back and forth to each other. It's like Kasuo is sending one to like Lilo.
Yeah.
He's sending one to her, and then like she sends one back to him.
But,
like,
yeah.
There's this one point where he's like talking to her, and she's like, oh, like, what do you look like, or whatever, right? And then he, like, off, like, hand, like, talking to himself, he's like, oh, well, I'm gonna come to the mortal realm, and let's see where you can hide. And I was like, that's such a weird thing to say.
What about that? Dude, he's, like, so obsessed with Lilo, and he hasn't even seen her yet.
Yeah, like... and I was like, what?
Yeah, because, okay, so, Kaso has a crush on Lilo. Lilo is like, this Ice Kingdom guy is, like, really weird. Are all the immortals like this? And he's, like, just absolutely obsessed with, like, mortal people and their realm. And she's just trying to, like, vibe and do her job correctly. And he's like, why is he being like this?
Yeah, it was just such a weird comment. Like, that's, like, what really spit out to me. It's like,
That's a little problematic, maybe. Oh, Jin Jue. That's the Fire Prince's name.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Hashi... You remember when Hashi was crushing on him?
I feel like I remember a little bit, but...
Oh my goodness. It was so bad, because, like, okay, because she started watching after, like, Yumi and Salty had started watching. So, we were, like, way ahead, and we already knew what happened to him. And she's just sitting there like, oh my god, he's so cute!
And then he died in episode 2.
Exactly. Because guess what episode 2 starts with?
Before we get into what episode 2 starts with, first a promo from Decaying with the Boys.
Welcome back to the Judgatorium. It's Decaying with the Boys.
That's right, it's Matt, it's Adam, two comedic co-hosts that talk about what they love.
Beers, combat sports, pop culture, horror movies, and whatever else we want.
So subscribe on your favorite podcast platform to catch new episodes dropping every Sunday morning.
How did he even get in a coma? That's what I don't get. How did he get in a coma?
He got in a coma because he got in a fight with, once Kasuha like saved Lanchang, he got in a fight with him.
Yeah.
And then like Ying Kong Shi was also there, and then like Ying Kong Shi like unleashes like a random power that he has. I don't know.
Like his power is just randomly awakened for no reason.
And then it causes him to go, the Fire Prince to go into a coma.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's basically kind of like where it starts off.
Okay.
Episode 2.
Yeah, because then I remember that the Ice King had to use up like a century's worth of power to try and stabilize his condition.
Yeah, like he's not worth all of that, but okay.
He really isn't, but but like they can't let him die or else the Fire Kingdom is going to start. But then, unbeknownst to them, a black fog sneaks into the palace and suffocates the prince.
Like, literally, it, like, raises him up in the air. And, like, kills him and just leaves him there.
Yeah, it just leaves his body there. And then, like, of course, his dad, the Fire King, is gonna notice, and his dad, like, absolutely hates the Ice Kingdom. But this all obviously has to be orchestrated by the Fire Kingdom, because why else would he have had the prized jewel of the Fire Kingdom and been able to, like, embed it in the Curtain of Ice? Like, you don't just show up with that by accident.
Yeah, like, exactly, like...
So, the only options here is that there's someone else in the Fire Kingdom running a coup, or the Fire King killed his own son.
Like, yeah, those are the only two options that could have possibly happened.
Yeah. So obviously, the Fire King senses it, and he's like, I'm gonna declare war on the Ice Kingdom! And he's like, because he's been wanting to declare war, but he's never had a reason to, because they have a treaty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, like, the guardians, like, of the mortal realm and stuff are, like, investigating the thing in the curtain, and they're like, it's melting the curtain, guys! What are we gonna do?
Oh no, what do we do?
Kasuo tries to take the blame for Ying Kong Shi for putting the Fire Prince in a coma. And Ying Kong Shi's mom is like, yeah, he has no powers. Everyone knows he has no powers. The whole kingdom knows he has no powers. There's no way he could have done this. And she is like, I did it. Because he obviously wants to protect his older brother. And his older brother is like, he didn't do it. It was me.
It was me, I swear.
And then the Ice King apparently doesn't like either of his sons, but especially doesn't like Shi, but he ends up locking them both in jail.
Yeah, and like these little igloos.
Little igloos, and then they have like a heartfelt moment where they're like two bros just like, I love you, bro.
Hugging against the ice.
Laying against the ice and like, don't worry, we'll get out of this. I'll make sure we get out of this. And then, obviously, the Fire Kingdom declares war and, like, brings their whole army to attack.
Yeah.
And then, tell me why. Tell me why. He releases Kasuo, right? But he leaves Shi in the igloo. Like, he was really about to give up his own son. He's like, take him. I don't want him. You can kill him.
He literally didn't care. And then, like, when Ying Kong Shi's mom was like, please don't do this, please don't do this, he was like, take her away.
Like, damn. Like, what? That is your son. That is your concubine. Like,
what kind of made me laugh, though, was, like, Ying Kong Shi was like so adamant on like taking the blame and being like, I did this, I did this, I did this. But like, when he was about to get passed over, he was like, please save me, mother, brother, save me. And I was
Hey, oh, he could talk the talk, but he couldn't walk the walk.
exactly.
And then they start fighting. And like, okay, how does she get out of the bubble?
Oh, I think his I think Kaso takes him out.
Yeah, I think Kaso like breaks the bubble and is like, I'm not gonna let you do this. Which, you
Yeah.
know, good for him. Good brother, honestly. And then after that, like obviously the Fire and Ice Kingdom start fighting, and then this is where we're introduced to arguably one of the coolest characters in the show, as cringe as her hair may be, Yanda, who's surfing.
That part confused me so badly because, like, at one scene, like, there's like other stuff happening, and then they just switch to like her and like other fire people, like in the ocean surfing and like fighting monsters and like getting hurled over by waves. And I was like, what's happening?
Like there, like over there's people having a traditional battle, you know, with swords and shields and spears and stuff, and then all of a sudden they're in Waterworld.
Like, it didn't make any sense. But then suddenly later on, she's on land. So, like, what was happening with the
Exactly, she just shows
water?
up on land, and she has like that like bone whip of hers, and she's just going poof, poof, at people like But
Then what
then,
got me the most was like when they were in the water, like the
yeah.
green screen of it,
Dude, you could see it. You could see this. This okay. Another note about the show: the special effects are terrible. They are so bad, and it's almost comical. And in fact, it is comical. It's just
it's
so
so
like,
bad.
it's so stereotypical of like Chinese fantasy media. It's hilarious. It's like watching like an old kung fu movie, and people are just flying through the air and doing spins, and you can just see the wire.
It's so bad.
Oh, and so obviously the Fire Kingdom does not have the resources to continue this fight right now. Yeah, like I really don't comprehend, because like the Fire King shows up at the palace gates. Like, no, was it him or was it like the assassin? Because it was like an assassin or something.
I can't remember. There was like I the palace gates.
Yeah, because I think, isn't this the fight with all of the siblings?
Oh yeah. It showed the scene of like all the different siblings like fighting like different
Yeah.
people.
Oh, but side note, the siblings are married. Like,
That's the best part of the show.
honestly, there's a bunch of brothers and there's a bunch of sisters and they're all married to each other. Like what is this detail with the incest? And this is a running plot point in the story. I'll just say that right now without spoiling anything of what I do remember, because there's a lot of fucking incest in the show, dude.
And
A
it's the
lot.
best part of the show.
There's two things you can count on in this show. It's incest and people getting assaulted. Like
That's the assaulting part is just like sometimes it's just like that was just so unnecessary. Like you guys did not have to add in a part, and it's always
It's
Lan Zhang.
always Lan Xang. Like, I think there's one time when it's not Lan Xang.
Yeah, but every other time it's her. And I'm like, come on.
Like, dude, like, I might not like her character. Like, I might think her character is a little annoying, but even she doesn't deserve that. Like,
She really doesn't. Like, it's honestly sad at some point. It's just like, damn, again.
again. Okay. Now, what was next? Because like the Fire Kingdom, I really don't understand what happened. Because like I know the Fire Kingdom retreats, and like, Liloa is fighting, but she gets like flung up into the air, and separated from the rest of her group, and then just like lands in the middle of the rocks somewhere by some beach.
Oh yeah, that part was really funny because there's a point where after the Fire Kingdom retreats, they're like all looking for her. They're like all the Realm Guardians or like people training to be Realm Guardians are like, "Where is she? Where is she?" And literally, she was literally just behind a rock, but they couldn't see her, so they
Dude,
just leave.
you
They
didn't look
leave.
down.
They just
You didn't
leave, and
look
she's laying there.
down. Goodness. But here's where a plot twist happens. Oh! She wakes up, and what does she wake up to see? The seas have parted, and the Fire King is having a rendezvous with the concubine of the Ice King?
What?
Oh my goodness! Oh, and they know each other? They were former lovers? He
My
has her
gosh.
tear, and they have not explained the mermaid tear at this point in the series. So should we explain what the mermaid tear is?
I guess we can, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so basically, the mermaid tear is the one tear that falls out of a mermaid's eyes when she does it for the first time, and then in that tear holds her ability to go back underwater. So the mermaid is basically forced to be a slave to whoever has her tear because they control her ability to go back home.
Yeah.
So
Okay. One thing though is before like they get caught by Lilo or like and stuff,
yeah.
the concubine, she goes like she parts the sea and she goes underwater and meets the Fire King like in this weird cave. And they're like
Yeah.
talking to each other. And then he takes her tear and she's like floating in the air.
Exactly.
And he's like, "Say that you still love me and I'll give it back to you." And I was like,
Meanwhile, he's like force choking her. He's doing a Vader and like holding her up in the air while force choking her, holding her tear. Like,
And he's like,
what?
"Tell me you love me. Tell me you love
Like, what?
me." Keep in mind, they had this thing with each other 100 years ago. This was 100 years ago.
Yes!
They
And
had
like,
this.
okay, yes, they're immortal, so like 100 years is like a blip for them, it's like a decade. But like, in human years, if a relationship ended a decade ago, you leave it be.
Yeah,
Like,
like.
no. So basically, now she's forced to be loyal to him because he stole her tear.
Yeah.
And obviously, Lilo sees this, but obviously, she doesn't see the part when they're inside the water cave. So she doesn't know why. So she's just like, oh, the concubine's a traitor.
Yeah, I can't remember what happens after that though. Like, oh, I remember.
What happens?
Okay. Like when they're talking to like, oh, well, first there is a scene where like Lilo like makes a sound and then like the concubine hears her and like tries to attack her, and then
Yeah.
like the Fire King also tries to attack her, but then she like hangs onto the side of a cliff because she
Yeah,
isn't
she okay, yeah,
seeing.
she does like one of those moves where like a person pretends to fall off a cliff but then like clings to the side.
Yeah, and then that happens, but I think after that is when like the Ice King is like talking about like, "Oh my gosh, what are we gonna do to like restore the wall, like what are we gonna do?" And then this like random guy, I don't even know what his role is, but he's
Well,
like, "We need to."
I would assume he's like an advisor, like a
Oh yeah.
vizier or something, because he was also like the medical guy, I think. So I think he just has like an all-purpose role in this song.
And so then he's like, "We need to get the God Devouring Sword." And everyone's like, "Not that, not that, please not that." And then he's like, "That," and like the general of like the Realm Guardians is there. And
Yeah.
he's like, "That was the first evil sword
Yeah.
to be created." And it's
Because it
like,
was like
that's why it
just
was
an
sealed
evil.
away. And then like the only way to release the sword. Okay, wait. The reason why they want to release the sword in the first place is because in order to restore the Ice Veil, they have to get like these six ice tiers. And like one of the tiers is in the Ice like Kingdom realm, and then the other five are in the Mortal realm. And they're like in like each of like the kingdoms in the Mortal realm. So they have to like to protect themselves, they want to get the God Devouring Sword.
Yeah, and then they have to go on the quest to find the, like, the shards of the flower. Yeah, and then, like, and that's so... the basic, that's, like, the, what do you call it, the catalyst for the start of the story. But, like, yeah, obviously they want to get the sword, so.
But the only way to get the sword is you have to sacrifice a royal to get the sword. And so then, of course, Ying Kong Shi walks in, he's like, I'll do it. And I think like, after that episode 12. Ends.
You're 12.
Yeah, he's literally 12, so.
Yeah. And he's like, I can do it. And everyone's like, and like, of course the Ice King's like, oh, well, if he wants to do it, like.
He literally doesn't care.
Yeah, and then. And then, bro, I forgot about this. But I don't know if you remember during one of the battle scenes, there's like these two twins that keep like.
Oh, yeah.
Merging.
Yeah, they merge into one person.
Yeah, and then they keep, like, splitting apart. That was a fun detail, actually.
Yeah, that was actually cool. I like that part.
Yeah.
But,
okay. I don't know how much of that he lost. But basically all we said was, like, the only reason they aged up Shi was to have a justifiable reason to, have romance, like, with him in it.
Yeah, even though mentally he's still 12, so it's like...
Yeah. And an amnesiac, so... But yeah, that's it for these two episodes. Do you have anything else you want to add? Any little juicy tidbit?
I think I will say that I did help a lot with the production of this episode, so...
Yeah, this all came out of her noggin. They did not give her any royalties, though, because... Your social credit score was too low.
Yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed it though, because I really worked hard on that episode, so.
Yeah. Well, you'll get the credit you deserve once I finish editing and releasing this episode. So
finally.
Well, thank you for joining us on this episode of Offtopia, talking about Ice Fantasy, and the first in many more to come, because there are a lot of episodes. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Thank you for joining us, and goodbye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.